This is the recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on March 14th, 2018. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good afternoon. The open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for Wednesday, March 14th is in order. Welcome, everybody. We're delighted to be here. It's a special meeting because we have one special matter on the agenda, and it's also the last meeting here at 999 E Street. We will talk more about the move and thank all the wonderful people who have helped us to get to where we're going when we have our first meeting in the new building. So we'll more on that later. But for today, we're delighted to be able to adopt a notice of proposed rulemaking on internet communication disclaimers and a definition of public communication. We'll start off with hearing from the Office of General Counsel, and then I anticipate some comments before we vote on the document. Ms. Selenkow?
Thank you, and I believe we have a late submitted document on this one.
Thank you.
I have a motion for that. Madam Chair, I move that we suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order that the Commission may consider the late submission. Why people think this is late. It's still warm off the printer. The late submission of agenda document number 18-12-A.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Samantha?
Agenda document number 18-12-A sets out proposals in a notice of proposed rulemaking for the Commission to amend its rule defining public communication as that is applied in the rules concerning disclaimers, specifically for internet communications. The Commission first started looking at the issue of internet disclaimers in 2011. It has published several advanced notices of proposed rulemaking in the year since then. And the Commission first considered changing the word website in the definition of public communication to include things like apps in 2016 in a rulemaking concerning technological modernization. The draft before you proposes two alternative approaches to how communications on internet communications must include disclaimers. Both of the proposals would allow for the use of an adapted disclaimer by which a communication may provide a full disclaimer utilizing a technological mechanism. The proposal also proposes to amend the definition of public communication to apply to not just communications placed for a fee on another person's website, but to also include, as previously proposed, with the same exact language in the technological modernization rulemaking, to include communications placed for a fee on another person's internet-enabled device or application. We're available for any additional questions or comments you may have.
Thank you very much. That was an excellent presentation, especially considering you had to do it on the fly. So thank you. And thank you to the Office of General Counsel, who have done an excellent job at getting us to where we are today. They've been working on this for a while, and they've been extremely helpful throughout the process. Lisa Stevenson, Aaron Klopak, Nevin Stepanovich, and Jessica Selenkoff. I know you guys worked very hard on this, particularly in the last week. So we thank you. And thank you very much to EAs in many of our offices. I think the lion's share of this was done by Amy Rothstein, who's hiding in the back here from my office, and Tom Moore, who's back here from Ellen's office. Everybody else helped as well, but I think it's fair to say they probably put the most work into this. And thank you, Dana, for getting this meeting together last minute. We appreciate it. And to Laura for helping you. So as Ms. Selenkoff said, this rulemaking covers a topic that has come up a number of times in the past. I think Commissioner Peterson put it out for comment a couple of years ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We got more comments this time. Yeah. Yeah. So we're happy, as I said, to be putting this proposal out. It's a fairly narrow rulemaking. We're only talking about internet. We're talking about putting disclaimers on public communications on the internet that contain express advocacy, solicit contributions, or are made by political committees. So it's a pretty narrow subset of the kinds of ads that you see on the internet now. As Ms. Selenkoff discussed, both proposals start off with requiring the full disclaimer, And both of them also allow an adapted disclaimer under certain circumstances. One of the major differences between the rules is between Proposal A and Proposal B is what gets you to that adapted disclaimer. Proposal A requires a full disclaimer and says if it can't fit, you go to the adapted disclaimer. Proposal B tries to do something that's a little bit more objective and has a measure in there. We propose 10% of the ad. So if the disclaimer takes up more than 10% of the ad, then you can move to the adapted disclaimer. And we ask questions about how do you measure that? Is 10% the right metric? All of those kinds of things. We really are looking for advice from the technological community in particular on the best way to measure it. And maybe that metric isn't a good one. We're open to any and all comments on that, and we look forward to hearing about it. Then moving down from that, under alternative B, there's also a possibility if that adapted disclaimer doesn't fit to allow just an indicator on the face of the ad. And in those ads, we're talking about very small ads that as long as the indicator is obvious that it leads you to additional information, you'll be brought to the full disclaimer on the web page. We are working on trying to come up with a list of examples, and we're going to do our best to do that, and there's a mention of it in the document, and the examples will try to illustrate how both alternative A and alternative B would apply to sort of real-world examples that we see out there today. So thank you again to everybody for your work on this. It was nice working with the vice chair, and I think she and I can agree that our sort of bouncing back proposals to one another actually improve the document over time, and we'll see where the comments take us. Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also would like to start, I would like to start by saying Happy Pie Day. I apologize, I did not bring any pie. Had I thought of it in advance, had I not been spending all of my effort working on the document, I would have liked to have brought pie. Secondly, I want to express some gratitude to a lot of important people. First of all, to the 150,000 Americans who weighed in with us when we said, should we move forward with this rulemaking? The answer was overwhelmingly yes. The answer was overwhelmingly that we should strengthen our disclaimer requirements. We hear you. We are here today to start that process formally, and I look forward to moving forward with that and to I welcome comments from all those people again on the specific proposals that we're putting forward today. We really want to hear your ideas. We appreciate your energy and your interest. Closer to home, there are a lot of people who worked very hard burning the midnight oil, literally, to get this document in shape so that we could vote it out today. There were many, many hours. Much quality time for the chair and me sitting in the conference room across the hall with a very dedicated group of people, Tom Anderson, John Burrowman, Eric Brown, from commissioner staffs, from the Office of Legal Counsel, who were really indispensable, Aaron Klopak and Nevin Stepanovich and Lisa Stevenson. I want to thank everybody on my staff who all helped, but there were a couple of standouts, and there are three people without whom this document would not have been produced. They are Amy Rothstein from the chair's office, the indefatigable Amy Rothstein, the tech-savvy and relentlessly upbeat Tom Moore from my office, who not only helped me get the document done, but kept my spirits up when I thought this document was going to be the death of me, and it would never happen, and the incomparable Jessica Selenkoff, who spent so many hours working on this, really. I know the chair feels the same way. There is no way we could ever thank you for all of the effort that you put into this document. I suppose I should say that any inadequacies in the document are all on the chair and me, because what Jessica gave us was always perfect. We're all a little bit tired. I'm really, really happy to be able to put these proposals out and start this formal process. There are a couple of different proposals in there, but I really, it says in the document, but I want to reiterate that people not look at them as silos. Okay, we've got proposal A and proposal B, and they're going to duke it out, and only one can win. I think that it's possible to combine elements of them. There's overlap between them. There are significant differences between them, but there's also some significant similarities. And we welcome and encourage people to look at every element and say, well, we like this part of proposal A, we like that part of proposal B, and in fact, we have this brand new idea that we think would really be useful that none of you thought of. And we want to hear that. As the chair said, it's both proposals, and in fact the document itself as a whole, affirm that there is a requirement for disclaimers on these ads. And yes, this is a narrow proposal. I would have preferred to have done something broader than this, but I am delighted that we could at least get unanimous support to get this narrow proposal move forward. I think it will be an improvement. It will bring greater transparency to political ads. It's not going to solve all the problems that we saw in the last election, but it will be a step in the right direction. As I said, I think it's clear that the types of ads that are discussed in this document require disclaimers, and we have different ways of providing that information in the two different proposals. There's a difference in at what point you could move to an adapted disclaimer where you could hover or link or somehow use technology to get to the full disclaimer. My own preference is to try to fashion a rule that will have the most information on the face of the ad, because we all know that not everybody is going to click through to find the information. So I think bringing the information before the American public is the most important criterion for me. Another difference between the two proposals is that there's a new exemption proposed in Alternative B. When I looked at the 150,000 comments that we got, I didn't see a big call for more exemptions in the rules. So I'm not personally leaning towards that aspect of that proposal. But we welcome all comments. And as the chair said, I think the process of creating the NPRM made both proposals stronger. We learned a lot from each other as we hashed out the document. I think both proposals evolved in the course of the writing of it, and I think that that process will put us in a good place to start as we collect the comments to start thinking about what a final rule might look like and where we might find some common ground, which I sincerely hope that we will be able to find. I would have liked to have gotten this done sooner. We're going to have a hearing, as noted in this document, on June 27th. There's going to be a 60-day comment period and then a hearing on June 27th. Again, I would have liked to have done that sooner, but that was the agreement, so that's what we're going to do. And I think that's it. We really look forward to getting robust comments and continuing the process, and I'm looking forward to working with all my colleagues to try to come up with a final rule.
Likewise, I just want to say one thing in response on the exemption in Alternative B, and that's what the Vice Chair is talking about. In Alternative B, there is an exemption, but I just want to make clear that you don't get there until you jump through a lot of other hoops. You first start with the full disclaimer, and then if that is bigger than the 10%, then you go to the adapted disclaimer. The adapted disclaimer is some version of, just to use a realistic hypo here, since we have John Phillippe in the room. John, can I use Republican National Committee? Okay, thank you very much. So in Alternative B, the ad would start with the full disclaimer. It would say, paid for by the Republican National Committee, 310 First Street Southeast. And then it would either have the website or the phone number. And then it would also say, not authorized to pay for by candidate, if it was talking about the candidate. So it's a fairly lengthy statement. That's what the full disclaimer would be. If that full disclaimer on the internet ad, remember we're talking about things that you're looking at on your phone, if that's larger than 10%, And again, we're asking if 10% is the right metric and how do you measure it. But if that full thing that I just recited is bigger than 10%, then under Proposal B, you then go to the adapted disclaimer. And in our case, in Alternative B, the adapted disclaimer, you can use a recognizable abbreviation. So in this case, it would then read paid for by the RNC. And then you would have some kind of indication, some kind of technology that would link you to the RNC's webpage. And on the RNC's webpage, you would have the full disclaimer there. So on the, again, on the face of the ad for the adapted disclaimer, it would say paid for by the RNC. And then the technology is open. It can be a link. It can be a hover over, which wouldn't take you to the page. It would just give you all the information if you hovered over. So whatever the technology people can do to get the reader the full disclaimer very readily, that's the adapted disclaimer. And then if the adapted disclaimer is more than 10% of that small ad that we're talking about, then Alternative B allows you to go to another step, which is called an indicator. And that is, from what I can tell in my limited research, that's fairly common on certain ads on the internet. And the one that we are going to plan to use in our examples is an I with a circle around it, you know, which designates information. So in a very small ad, you might not be able to fit even the adapted disclaimer, or it might be more than 10%, so you have that I there. And that I there you can hover over, link to, et cetera, to get to the full disclaimer. And again, the full disclaimer is one click away. Now, if there's some circumstance whereby none of that works, and remember, you have to jump through all of those hoops first, then there is an exemption in the rule. Frankly, I can't think of a time where that exemption would apply, because you certainly, I think you could fit the I on just about anything, even the smallest of ads. But in the event that there's some kind of technology that we're not thinking of, you know, something that might be developed down the road or that sort of thing, the exemption is there because we don't want to freeze technology. We want to keep that open. But I don't think that that's something where people are going to be able to go to that right away. As I said, they're going to have to filter their way down to get to the exemption in Alternative B. It's not widely available. With respect to Alternative A, I believe that Alternative A keeps the small items and impracticability exemption in the regulation. I believe, I don't want to speak for Alternative A, but that's my understanding. And so it's conceivable that an ad may still meet the small items and impracticability exemptions, which have been in the rules now for a while, in the FEC regulations for a while. Alternative B completely gets rid of those for internet ads. Our proposal basically says, yes, they're still in the regulations, but not for internet ads, because they're really hard to apply to internet ads. And we have had some difficulty in the past trying to apply them to internet ads. So we sort of throw those away with respect to internet ads. Madam Vice Chair.
So just to respond to that, the Alternative A doesn't do anything with the small items and the impracticability exception, which the Commission has never actually applied on the internet. It's never happened. I don't anticipate that it really would, and we ask the question as to whether we should just say it's not going to apply in the future. I'm perfectly open to that.
Just to clarify, it's not that we haven't applied it, it's that we've never found four votes to... I mean, we've run the analysis through it.
Well, there has never been a consensus that it applies in any circumstance involving internet ads.
Okay.
See, this is why it took so long to get the document done.
Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm pleased to be able to support this document today, and I start off by commending the Chair and the Vice Chair for all of their efforts to bring this document to this point, as well as their respective staffs. There have been countless hours that have been put into this and many discussions, and I think that they deserve a great deal of credit for being able to get us to the point where we are now. Thank John Barlman from my staff for his work to help facilitate hopefully what will be a successful conclusion. As the Chair pointed out, I've supported moving forward on this on this topic for a few years now. I think it's I think since the commission grappled with the internet rulemaking back in the mid-2000s, I believe 2006 is when it was finally promulgated, the commission, to its credit, has sought to facilitate the continuing development of the internet and of apps and of all sorts of different technology as a means for consuming and disseminating political information. As we now know, traditional media, radio, television, newspaper, mail, is becoming less and less relevant for purposes of receiving and consuming political news, making contributions, organizing political movements, even getting get-out-the-vote activities, increasingly is being done in an online environment. And as we know, radio and television is relatively a static medium in the sense that whether you're reviewing a television ad on a 55-inch HD TV or on a 10-inch tube television, you're getting the same ad. It may be bigger or smaller, but it's the same ad. Whereas in an online environment, whether or not you're viewing an ad on a desktop or on a tablet or on a cell phone can make a difference in terms of the content that you receive. Whether or not you have an iPhone or whether it's a Samsung Galaxy or a Google Pixel phone, it can make a difference. And even within, for example, if you have an iPhone, whether or not you have a newer iPhone or an older one, you have a more kind of expensive and advanced model or more of a primitive one, depending on what operating system you might have, all these different factors can change the way in which a political communication is received by you. And so the commission is in a position where we have a strong interest in ensuring that we are not impeding the further development of the internet and of technology as a means for allowing and facilitating political communication, but at the same time ensuring that the disclaimer requirements that are in the Act and that are required by the Act are also being met. And so threading this needle is what this rulemaking exercise is all about. And comments are always valuable in a rulemaking situation, I think even more so in this particular case, because we're not dealing with questions of, purely questions of law that might necessarily be right within our wheelhouse of expertise, but these issues regarding the state of technology, which is rapidly evolving, is something where I think we all really can use and will be well served by comments and testimony so that we can be better educated about what the current state of play is in the technology world so that we can develop rules that are relevant and that that they will be meaningful in this rapidly developing field. We also want to make sure that we're drafting rules that can be meaningful 12 months 12 years from now, perhaps, so that we want to make sure that we don't draft rules in a means that will be obsolete in a very short period of time. So I think that the comments that we will receive will be especially valuable, and I certainly would join my colleagues in inviting as much response to this NPRM as possible. And I very much look forward to hearing those comments, hearing the testimony that we'll have in the hearing, because I think that We stand in need of being educated further as to how technology is evolving in this field. So again, I very much look forward to going forward with this rulemaking. I'm happy to support it. Again, thank all of the efforts. I didn't mention the Office of General Counsel when I was distributing my thanks, but thank you to everyone who put in so much time in order to get us to the point where we are now. So, Madam Chair, when the time is appropriate, I'll be happy to support this document.
Thank you. Mr. Walther?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I join the rest of the commissioners in supporting this. It's been a long time in coming. There's been a comment lately about how long some of these commissioners have been on the commission, and this is almost my full amount of time that I've been on the commission that we've been dealing with these kind of issues. And it's been frustrating because we'll get started, we'll think about getting started, and then we'll find that we're in disagreement on some areas, and we have in unclear guidance from what the public wants in the past. And then we're confronted with new ways for people to spend money, and new ways for people to use it, and not in ways that are new to us. And we also are confronted with new technology. And I use as an example whenever we talk about the wristwatch, or you know, I have a 5-year-old granddaughter who's got this wristwatch, and she can talk to her mom, and she can get information, and it's pretty neat. So if we all have these fairly soon, we can say whatever we want to say on there, and we can convey information. And so I use that as a way to think about how we can take information that comes to us, and then at the same time provide the promise that we have to the public to give them information on who's paying for it. So I think it's taken probably another event like we have had in Watergate to make everybody realize that we have to act in a bipartisan way to do something to make sure the public knows where the money is. And I think the last few couple of years has taught us that there are new pressures to find out where the money is coming from. And this is one way that will improve our ability to do that. And I think it's really a nice step forward. It's a small step, but it's a positive one. It was great to see the chair and vice chair working together so chummily, if that's a word, but really positively to said, we're going to get this done. They sat down and they worked on it. They and went through a lot of iterations. And I think, Matt and I stepped back and said, let them go. And they did it. And without the IT department and IGT, it couldn't have been done. And, we had to meld technology with law and people's prejudices and viewpoints and stuff like that stuff. But I'm really pleased to see us do this. It's kind of I'd like to say it's kind of a breakthrough for us in a way that maybe we can tackle some other issues that are coming at us in the same vein. And hopefully we can use this and come up with a rule that we then can adopt. And that'll be our test. We're doing a great job so far, but until we actually have a rule that's finalized, it will be a disappointing, but still a productive event. But I'd like to make sure that maybe we'll just turn the two of them loose and see if they can't give us a final rule. In any event, this is the last time we've been in this building. It's been great being here. One of the people in the elevator said, one of the workmen, I said, well, how do you feel about leaving? He says, well, this has been kind of a family elevator. And I think, in a way, it really has. We have 9 floors, so we're always seeing somebody coming up and down. Now we only have 3 or 4. But this has been a wonderful building, and it has been a comfortable spot. Just remorse. I hate to see us move, but on the other hand, it's going to be a great spot. I think changes is something we can all look forward to, and maybe this will propel us to agree more.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
I got one.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I move that the Commission approve Agenda Document Number 18-12-A, a Notice of Proposed Rulemaking on Internet Communication Disclaimers and Definition of Public Communication, and authorize the Office of General Counsel to submit it for publication in the Federal Register so that we will get lots and lots of comments.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. All righty. Since that's the only matter on the agenda today, Ms. Horak, are there any management or administrative matters the Commission needs to discuss today?
There are none.
Okay. Thank you. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.